A Present Day Challenge to Prayer by Captain Carey. Chapter 5, being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. The Burden of Prayer and Its Sure Result. The most wonderful week of my life was the one spent in Marie with Mr. Hyde and several others of like spirit. Marie is a hill station on the way to Kashmir. In the year 1907, several missionaries arranged to spend 3 or 4 weeks of the hot weather in this place, and the Spirit moved them to arrange for 1 week or 10 days of waiting on the Lord while there. Others heard of this and joined them, and I had the great privilege of being with them. When I say that several of the leaders, or for a better word, would be the intercessors, from the Syokot Convention, where there one can understand the privilege. I had the joy of sharing a tiny room with Hyde, and that room was a little heaven to me, and the memories of it will never be effaced. We were entertained by the Reverend and Mrs. McChaney Patterson, and all the other guests in the same house were of kindred spirit, so that the fellowship was almost perfect. Mr. Hyde was very full of humor, which was under perfect control. The sad, burdened features relaxed when he was in the company of those who shared his prayer life, and his face was lit up with joy, a heavenly joy. The conversation at the table was most uplifting, and Hyde and others led us into green pastures, and some of us who were only beginning to understand this life feasted on the thoughts that passed through the lips of those dear saints who lived in the secret of his presence. But Hyde's voice was often vacant. We knew where he was. No one enjoyed the company of men and women more than he did, but Jesus came first. He was afraid lest the fellowship of the saints should come between him and his Savior. He was always on his knees, clothed in a heavy overcoat, when I went to bed, and on his knees long before I was up in the morning, though I was up with the dawn. He would also light the lamp several times in the night and feast on some passage of the Word, and then have a little talk with the Master. He sometimes remained on one knee the whole day. At other times he would come with us to the services and spend the time in prayer in the vestige adjoining the church. The services were full of power. Every word seemed to reach the hearts of men. It was not the power of the message, but the power of prayer that did it all. How easy it was to speak. There was an atmosphere of prayer. I would be in the vestige with him and a few others until the service commenced, and back to the vestige for prayer as soon as the service was over. One day, the burden of prayer for the Europeans of the station had fallen on Hyde. For 2 or 3 days, he never went to bed, nor did he go down to meals, and the food sent up to his room was generally carried down again untouched. How often he came and knelt by my bed that I might try to help him to bear the burden. On the Saturday night, he was in great agony. McChaney Patterson and myself remained with him. Oh, how he prayed and pleaded for the Europeans at the station. It was a vision to me of real agonizing intercession. He seemed to say like Jacob of old, "I will not let thee go." And yet in that determination there was such deep humility, such loving pleading. At 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at my door, and Mr. McChaney Patterson quietly whispered to me, "I am sure that is my wife reminding me that we ought to go to bed." But it was not so. It was a letter from a lady staying at the largest hotel in the place, asking us to have a service for Europeans in the drawing room of the hotel. Hyde heard us read the letter, and he jumped up from his knees and said, "That is the answer to my prayers. I know now that the Lord has heard me." The servant, who was entrusted with the message, had gone miles in another direction, and had to come back, and found it very difficult at night to get anyone to direct him to us. Hence his appearance at 2 o'clock in the morning. He had been told that the message was urgent, and a reply absolutely necessary. Hyde's face was just full of peace and joy, and he almost commanded us to accept the invitation arranged for the service, which we did. It was not a large gathering at the hotel, and the service was not a success from a human standpoint. And yet, I felt perfectly confident that the Lord was carrying out His plans and purposes, and that He was answering the prayers of His dear servant. Hyde, of course, remained in his room to pray, or rather to praise, for he was full of joy, and was not at all disappointed when we told him that not many of the hotel visitors had attended the service. He said that it was all in the Lord's hands, and he knew how to carry on his work. One, at least, that was at the service came to the evening service, which was held by us in the Scott Church. Minister Hyde was present that night with such heavenly joy in his features that it was contagious. What a privilege it was to be with him for that week. What lessons I learned. His Bible was always in his hand, even when we had our morning cup of tea. He regaled me with manna from the Word. When he knelt to pray, the dear old book was always open before him, and his hands rested on it, face to face with the Lord and resting on the promises. He had always some dainty morsel or other to give me from the Word. He always led me right to His presence when we prayed together. How is it that we have so few who live thus at all times in the secret of His presence? Why do we not yield ourselves to the Lord and let our life be one of prayer and communion with Him? Then we could lead others to a higher life. From Marie, we all went together to the Siacott Convention, and probably that was one of the most wonderful conventions ever held. Mr. Hyde took some of the morning Bible readings, which proved so helpful to those present. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer is to be the spiritual life what air is to the physical. Make it a rule never to see the face of man until you have seen the face of God. Each day is a new life. Make sure of a good beginning. The devil may be so thoroughly beaten in the morning that his assaults will be feeble all the rest of the day. The spirit of prayer should also be cultivated until we form the habit of associating prayer with all we do. Our petitions need not always be uttered in words. Prayer, in the form of a silent aspiration of the soul, should be continually breathed out to God, whether we are in solitude or surrounded by the busy crowd. We should finish each day as we begin it on our knees. Before retiring to rest, always review the day and ask pardon for the wrong you have done. Be men and women of prayer. None are eminent for piety and usefulness who neglect this duty. All who would win great victories for God in public must first prevail in the solitude of their own chambers. Thomas Cook.